Welcome to the Vineyard Church of Greater Portland podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by our guest speaker. For more podcasts and other resources, please visit www.vineyardportland.org.
You know, for a long time, I always heard the word Advent. It's really interesting. And when I was growing up and stuff like that, and I never really quite understood like what the idea of Advent was. But just to give you guys a little bit of an idea, Advent is really just the preparation, really the what we go through to really sort of prepare ourselves for the coming of Jesus. And so through the Advent season, we love to take topics and ideas that are just that are really displayed in the Christmas story and really sort of expound on those. And so this morning, we're going to talk about the power of peace. The power of peace that Jesus brought to the earth when he came to the earth. And Jesus embodied, it's really cool, Jesus embodied the whole power of heaven when he came. When he came, he brought the complete power of heaven with him. And with that came the power to heal, as we see he did. It came the power to transform lives, which we saw he did. It brought with the power to love people, which is what he did. And it brought this power of peace to people, which is what he did. And so this morning we're going to talk about peace and what that looks like in our lives when we follow Jesus. Because during the Christmas season, you know, a lot of people talk about the Christmas season and they associate basically two things with the Christmas season. The first thing is joy, right? And peace. If you happen to get on Pandora and you get your Christmas station all set up and you've got that thing blaring in your house, you know, a lot of the songs you're going to hear on Pandora are songs about peace and joy. So many Christmas songs are wrapped around those two central ideas of peace and joy. Why is that? Well, the reason why it is because when Jesus came to the earth and we read the Christmas story, one of the things that was proclaimed was this idea of peace on earth. So we so often sing Christmas songs about Jesus and have no idea that it's Jesus. Isn't that funny? So often we celebrate the things of Jesus during Christmas, but yet we don't give him any sort of recognition for it. It's really interesting because peace is such a central part of our existence on the earth. You know, leaders, our leaders, other leaders around the world, for as long as we can remember, whenever they get into power, one of their promises always is, we're going to bring peace to here. We're going to bring peace to there. We're going to broker peace deals here. We're going to bring peace to these two places here between these two types of people or these two countries. So often in our world, people want to talk about peace and about how they have the ability to bring it to certain places. But so often we find ourselves in this world right now where it's even more chaotic than it was 20 years ago. It seems like the sense of peace in this world is actually decreasing. So if Jesus brought peace, why is there no peace in the world? And if Jesus brought peace, why is it so often that we don't even feel it in our own lives? Well, this morning we're going to look at the declaration of peace that we see in the Christmas story. And we're going to look at the kind of peace that Jesus brings. Because unlike the world, Jesus brings a sense of peace that is different than the world. See, the world describes peace as the absence of something, which is conflict or violence. Whenever we talk about peace in the world and people talk about bringing peace to a region or peace to a people, it's usually because there's an absence of something. There's usually absence of violence or conflict. There's peace. There's nothing wrong. But you see, the peace that Jesus brings isn't about an absence of something. It's about the presence of something. It's completely opposite of what the world brings. The world talks about peace as not having something in the situation. See, the presence, the peace of Jesus is all about the presence of something. And so we're going to look at what that is this morning. So the first place we're going to go to is Luke chapter 2, verse 14. We'll pick up the story here. There's a bunch of shepherds hanging out in a field together. They're watching over their flock, right? It's another normal day, another normal night, right? Probably talking about the drama of the day, right? I can imagine some of them being like, you know, man, that one sheep, man, he never listens to me. Man, anytime I try to herd that guy, you know, he just goes his own way. You know, things like that, right? They're probably just hanging out, chewing the cud, as Mario would say a lot. You know? It's just a normal night in the field, watching their sheep. But something different happens. All of a sudden, the text says they're just hanging out in their field, and out of nowhere appears an angel. And the angel says to them, hey, listen, tonight is different because there is a man, a baby that has been born, and he is your anticipated savior. For the Jewish culture, they have been waiting for years and years and years for the savior that has been prophesied to them in the Old Testament. Waiting for this man. And on this night, this angel comes and says, listen, what you have been waiting for so long is now here on the earth. And tonight he is coming. And this is what it says in verse 14. This is how the angels describe the coming Savior. Glory to God in highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. There was an angel there, but then came a multitude of heavenly hosts. I don't understand what that looks like. I don't understand what that sounds like. It was probably pretty insane. But when the multitude of, after the declaration that the angel gave to the shepherds, then this whole multitude of heavenly hosts, scripture says, joins the angel, and this is what they say and sing. Glory to God in highest heaven and peace on earth to those whom God is pleased. So when Jesus came, one of the components of his coming, the angels said to them was, because he has come, now this is the reality on earth. Peace to those with whom God is pleased. And in a lot of different parts of the scripture, it refers to Jesus as the Prince of Peace. So what kind of peace did he bring? He brought peace with power. Peace that has power to crush any fear we have. Peace to crush any storm that rages. Peace to crush any mind that is gripped with fear and anxiety. That's the kind of peace that Jesus brought to the earth. This is the God we serve this morning. And that is the peace that is available to us through the Holy Spirit. The peace that the angels heralded on that night is available to us and to the world through his son. Amen. What kind of peace did Jesus bring? He brought peace backed with power and authority from heaven. He brought a different kind of peace because it came from heaven. We can sort of formulate peace on the earth in our own human, you know, nature. You know, we can be peaceful to one another in our own, you know, ability. But there is a completely different sense of peace that comes from heaven, backed by his authority. And that's the peace that we can experience this morning. Regardless of the storm, regardless of the amount of stress, anxiety, Whatever it is. Last night, we got to see this drama that dealt with depression. And the overwhelming fear and anxiety that is you know, associated with that. Jesus can pierce through anything, any depression, any sense of anxiety, any sense of fear, any storm that's raging. He can pierce through it with the peace, because guess what? The authority and power is from heaven, not from us. So we're going to look at a couple really quick examples of how Jesus brought peace to the earth. And it's really interesting because while Mario was gone and we were and I was preaching, I actually preached on these two scriptures like 3 weeks ago. So Mario was like, "You're taking this week," and I looked at the scriptures. I'm like, I'm like so prepared. I'm like, I know what I'm doing here. I already exegeted this. I already studied this. I already got the historical context. Mario would be so proud of me. So let's read Luke chapter 8, 22 and 24. I'm calling this part of the talk the calmer of the storms. It says, "One day Jesus said to his disciples, 'Let's cross to the other side of the lake.' So they got into a boat and started out. As they sailed across, Jesus settled down for a nap, but soon a fierce storm came down on the lake. The boat was filling with water, and they were in real danger. The disciples went and woke him up, shouting, 'Master, Master, we're going to drown.' When Jesus woke, he rebuked the wind and the raging waves. Suddenly, the storm had stopped and all was calm." Now, a couple weeks ago, when we used this scripture out of Mark, Mark actually attributed some words that Jesus said to the actual wind and the waves. But Luke doesn't do that. But that's okay. It's the same idea. So the lake they were referring to, as we talked about a couple weeks ago, is the Sea of Galilee, right? So they're trying to cross the Sea of Galilee over to the other side. And like what we talked about, because of the topography around the Sea of Galilee, there's a lot of hills and a lot of really, you know, it's very steep. So you have a lot of like wind and air coming down into that valley, and it causes these storms to kick up really quick, kind of like a thunderstorm, you know, in the summertime. It's like all clear out, right? And then all of a sudden, within like 20 minutes, it's dark, it's raining, it's lightning, and it's windy. It's kind of the same thing. These windstorms just kick up out of nowhere on seemingly calm and clear days. And it's kind of a metaphor of life, to be honest with you. We can kind of go through life and everything's really cool. We are cruising down the road, all of a sudden, bam, something nails us. And it's a storm, and it comes out of nowhere. So they set out to get to the other side, and the storm pops up. Where there was once peace, there's now fear, right? Where there was once calm, there's now chaos. The disciples find themselves in this situation where it was a certain way, now it's something different. And so what they do is they go to Jesus and they say, "Don't you care? We're going to drown here. We're taking on water." And Jesus gets up, rebukes everything. Immediately, the wind and the waves stop. He brings peace to a situation of chaos. He brings calm. The scripture says that he rebuked the wind and the waves. And the word for rebuked in here, the Greek word that is used in the translation, is apitimao. Apitimao. And basically what that means is this: admonish, reprove, or charge sharply. He just stood against it and rebuked it, and it stopped in his authority because he brings the power of peace from heaven by the authority of heaven. And the text said there was calm. So I want us to notice a couple of things about this encounter. First is this. The disciples are in the boat, right? And it doesn't explicitly say this, but if I was a betting man, knowing human nature, my guess would be that when this storm started to kick up, this is just me. I'm thinking to myself, knowing human nature and knowing what we do when confronted with something like this in our life, the first thing we try to do is figure out how to fix it. We become logical, we become practical, we set out a plan, and we say, you know what, I have a problem, and I'm going to fix it. And I don't even know if the disciples did that, but I would assume that, like, as the storm got a little worse, they were probably at the beginning when they were kind of maybe taking on some water. I mean, the scripture said that, you know, the boat was being rocked back and forth. I mean, it was a pretty chaotic scene. So I'm probably thinking to myself, during the first part of the storm, they were probably thinking, all right, you know, this is just whatever. We're just going to do a couple things here, and we're going to probably just try to fix this thing on our own. When it got to the point where they were, like, fearing for their lives, they go to see Jesus, and they say, can you help us? And I think so often in our lives, when we come up against these storms that rage in our lives, that so often our first response is, we're just going to try and fix it. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. We're going to do this. We can get this done. I can do this in my own power. No problem. I'll get through it. Right? And we're so busy trying to bail out the water in the boat that we don't realize that Jesus is in there with us. You know? So I really think it's important to understand that when these things come upon us, it is crucial in our lives to draw on the power of peace that only Jesus can give us. You know, we can't just start bailing the water out of the boat ourselves, because there's just going to be more water coming into the boat, because we don't have the power to calm the storm. We're just going to have to deal with the circumstances of the storm. And so we're going to bail the water out of the boat until the point where the boat's going to sink. And then that's it. That's what we often do in our human nature. But what we are called to do is draw on the peace, the power of peace that Jesus brings to calm every storm that's raging in our lives. The other thing that I wanted to sort of point out about this is that Jesus, he does not change the situation, right? But he changes the circumstances in the situation with his authority. The situation is the disciples are in the boat and they're trying to get to the other side. That's the situation. When they enter into the situation, everything's cool. Everything's great. Sea is calm. There's no wind. They'll get to the other side. They probably figure out how long it's going to take them. But all of a sudden, the circumstances in the situation change. And they become fearful. What was once peace is now chaotic. There's no calm in the situation anymore. Now, it's fear. And so, when Jesus comes in and encounters the situation, when they wake him and they say, Lord, don't you care? We're drowning here. He rebukes it by the power of his peace. Everything is calm. And he changes the circumstances in the situation. But he doesn't change the situation. They're still in a boat. They're still on the sea. And they're still trying to get to the other side. So what Jesus does is he comes in and changes the circumstances in the situation. Oftentimes when we're in places where it's hard and chaotic and fearful and we don't know which way is up or down, we want to be rescued from the situation. But oftentimes Jesus changes the circumstances of the situation instead. He changes our mindset in the situation, which is the circumstance. He doesn't just take us out of it. I think sometimes he does, but a lot of times our faith is built in just finding and drawing on the peace that he gives us in the situation. You know? That's how we grow. That's how we mature. That's the kind of peace that he brings. The peace that overcomes the circumstance in the situation. That is the kind of peace that the angels heralded in the first piece of scripture that we looked at this morning. The kind of peace that the angels talked about is a peace that has the power to calm our minds and to crush anxiety. It is the presence of something, right? It's not the absence of something. What is it the presence of? Well, I'll tell you one thing it's the presence of. It's the presence of freedom. Peace brings freedom. The freedom to understand that Jesus is with us no matter what. No matter where we are, no matter what circumstance we're facing, no matter what situation we're in, the presence of his peace and the power of his peace is the idea that there is freedom in Jesus above every situation and every circumstance that we find ourselves in this morning. Because he will never forsake us, he will never leave us, and he will always be that Prince of Peace that is going to calm our minds and change the circumstances. One other one that I want to look at. This comes actually right after this event that we just have on the Sea of Galilee. So they're on the Sea of Galilee trying to get to the other side because this is where Jesus wants to go. And a couple weeks back, we talked about what's on the other side. The other side is this place called the Decapolis, right? The region of 10 cities. And it was a mostly Greek culture in this place. The cities were established by Alexander the Great in his eastern conquest for the kingdom that he was representing. And most of these places that were in this area, the Decapolis, were Hellenistic, or what we call Greek cultures. They were basically set up and part of the Greek Empire. But then, in Jesus' time, the Romans had actually taken it. So you had Romans practicing their culture, you had the Greek culture, and then you had some Jews mixed in as well. So the land that they were going to was very diverse, especially in the what they believed in. You had some people that were the Greek culture that believed in a multitude of gods. You had the Roman cultures who actually looked at their emperor as God. And then you had Jews there that were actually worshiping the one true God. So this is sort of the situation that they were finding themselves in when they got to the other side. And this is what it says in Luke chapter 8, verse 27 to 35. So they arrived in the region of the Gerasenes, across the lake from Galilee. As Jesus was climbing out of the boat, a man who was possessed by demons came out to meet him. For a long time he had been homeless and naked, living in the tombs outside the town. As soon as he saw Jesus, he shrieked and fell down in front of him. Then he screamed, "Why are you interfering with me? Jesus, Son of the Most High God, please, I beg you, do not torture me." For Jesus had already commanded the evil spirit to come out of him. The spirit had often taken control of the man. Even when he was placed under guard and put in chains and shackles, he simply broke them and rushed out into the wilderness, completely under the demon's power. Jesus demanded, "What is your name?" "Legion," he replied, for he was filled with many demons. The demons kept begging Jesus not to send them into the bottomless pit. There happened to be a large herd of pigs feeding on the hillside nearby, and the demons begged him to let them enter into the pigs. So Jesus gave them permission. Then the demons came out of the man and entered the pigs, and the entire herd plunged down the steep hillside into the lake and drowned. When the herdsmen saw it, they fled to the nearby town and the surrounding countryside, spreading the news as they ran. People rushed out to see what had happened. A crowd soon gathered around Jesus, and they saw the man who had been freed from the demons. He was sitting at Jesus' feet, fully clothed and perfectly sane, and they were all afraid. You'd think they'd be happy. They were afraid. I think I know why they were afraid, because they were like we said a couple weeks ago, they were like, wait, these like evil spirits listen to this guy? Like, he must be evil as well. You know, I think a lot of people didn't understand understand the power and authority that Jesus brought from heaven. They were scared of him because the demons even listened to him. So they step off the boat and they find themselves in this place with this man. And I'm calling this part of the talk the healer of minds. Jesus not only is the calmer of the storm through peace, but he's the healer of minds through his peace. Like we said, there's all kinds of things going on in this place, the place called the Decapolis. There's all kinds of things going on. And as soon as Jesus gets out of the boat, this guy comes up to him, starts screaming and yelling at him. And Jesus is probably like, whoa, what is going on here? But immediately what Jesus does is he rebukes the evil spirit in him because he knew what was going on. He was confronted by a man who was basically living a life of chaos and fear. He was being controlled. He was not even speaking for himself. But we find a man in a state of chaos and fear. And the text says for a long time he was running around without any clothes on. And he actually lived in what we call tombs, or in that day they called them repositories. It was these places that they carved out in the land to properly bury dead bodies, to bury the dead. And the text saying that this is where he was living. Like, he didn't even have a home. He was basically living among the dead. That right there should have prevented Jesus from encountering this man just because from a cultural perspective, because he was considered unclean. But Jesus encountered this man who was gripped with fear, whose life was filled with chaos. And he rebuked the evil spirits. He possessed and possesses the power of peace backed by the authority of heaven. And so we see a transformation happen with this guy. We see a man who is living in a place of fear be transformed by the power of the peace that Jesus brings from heaven. He's transformed. His life is changed forever. No longer is he gripped with fear and doubt and anxiety about his life. Now he's filled with peace and hope and joy. And that's the kind of peace that came, that is here when Jesus came to the earth. That kind of peace. He's completely settled, this man. He's completely at peace, and he's completely in his right mind. The people from the town came over, and they were all scared because they knew this man was a certain way. Then all of a sudden they see him, they're like, whoa, this guy's not the same guy. This guy's different. We just saw him yesterday, probably, man, and he was running around naked, screaming and yelling. And now look at him. He's sitting with Jesus, this guy we've never seen before, completely clothed and completely in his right mind. This is the kind of peace that Jesus brings. See, there's a correlation in Scripture. There's a connection between the presence of peace and the effect on the mind. If we have peace, it has a tremendous effect on our mind. In 1 Corinthians, this is what it says. 1 Corinthians 14:33, for God is not a God of confusion, but of peace. Romans 8:6, for to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the spirit is life and peace. Romans 8:6. Philippians 4:7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You get the picture? You see the pattern? Look at this one. This is my favorite right here. So good. Isaiah 26:3. You keep him, me and you, you keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. If you needed some scriptural support for the idea that Jesus brings the power of peace to the earth, you got it. It's littered. This idea of pursuing peace and drawing on the power of peace back from heaven and the effect it has in our minds is irrefutable when it comes to scripture. Because guess what? I'm going to finish with this. This life, man, this life brings trials. You know, this life brings really tough stuff. You know, so often we find ourselves in the boat crossing the sea and it's a sea of glass. And then all of a sudden these storms, they kick up real quick in our lives. And what are we going to do when that happens? What are you going to do when things aren't peaceful? When things are chaotic? When you are experiencing fear in your life, what are you going to do? Are you going to bail the water out of the boat? Or are you going to rely on the peace and the power of peace backed by heaven? Because we're going to have problems. John chapter 16 says this. Behold, the hour is coming. This is Jesus talking to his disciples. He said, the hour is coming. Indeed, it has come, which means it's here. What is the hour? Well, when you will be scattered, each to his home, and will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, for the Father is with me. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, for I have overcome the world. Yes. That is our life. That's our life. It's going to be hard. But what are we going to do when it gets there? I got a super quick story. Okay, so my daughter Grace, right? She loves to play Legos. And, you know, usually girls her age are playing with dolls. They're playing with Barbies. You know, not all the time. But she's got two older brothers who all they do is play Legos. So all she does is play Legos. I mean, it's so bad sometimes where, like, I put her to bed at night and she's like, hey, Daddy. She's like, I got to tell you something. I said, what? So I get real close to her and she whispers. And she starts describing to me what she's going to build the next morning when she wakes up. This is how this girl is with Legos. So there's some times when she's playing with them and she can't get something to fit and she can't get something to work right and she can't get something to do what she wants. And she gets so frustrated. Like, I'll be in the kitchen, and I'll hear her up in her room just like, why don't this work? And she's, like, screaming at the top of her lungs and crying and just, she's so upset. And she's trying to figure it out. And I'm sitting here doing whatever, and I'm just like, I know exactly what's going on up there. And eventually, she comes downstairs all like, and she's just, she's lost it. She's lost it. She's not in her right mind. She really isn't. She's not in her right mind. It's like she's just a total another person. And I'm just like, Gracie, what is wrong? And she's carrying this thing. And she's like, I can't get this. And I'm just like, hold on. Explain to me what it is you're trying to do. And so she explains it to me. And me being the wonderful father that I am, I fix it every time. Not all the time. But I engage her. She encounters me. I engage her. And literally a situation that was completely in chaos in her world, chaotic and fearful because she's upset because she can't figure this out. It becomes a completely different situation. I show her, I encounter her, I engage her, and I show her, this is how we're going to fix your problem. And then she goes on her merry way back upstairs, happy as a clam. Like nothing ever happened. It's crazy. It's like she can transition from complete chaos and fear and upset to total happiness in a moment. And that's kind of the picture it is with us and Jesus. We have to encounter him and engage him in order to draw on his sense and the power of peace that he has. You know, we have to come down the stairs with our issues and our problem and say, God, can you please give me peace in this situation? It just doesn't happen by us going about our day trying to fix everything on our own. It won't happen. Because we can live a life of fear and chaos. We can be worried about our families, our jobs, our money, our future. Whatever the case, we could be worried and filled with anxiety about so much in our lives. But Jesus is saying, come to me and encounter me. If you do that, I will pour out the power of peace over your life that will change every situation you find yourself in. He will bring peace to every situation. And just like the disciples, he won't change it, but he'll change the circumstances. He'll change our perspective. He won't necessarily change our situation, but he'll change how we look at it, how we deal with it. He will bring peace in it. And that's what we're asking. Lord, will you do that for us during this season? Will you bring peace that only can come from heaven to our lives? That's what he brings. A peace with power to break every stronghold, every chain, every mindset, every circumstance. A peace with power backed by the authority of God.